Hi there, this is The Green Age, and today we are at episode 29. Hi there, James.
Hi, Nick, how are you?
Not too bad.
Just a quick correction, already.
What?
It's The Green Room, not The Green Age.
A mistake.
What's the difference?
Well, I suppose, The Green Age is the website, and The Green Room is here.
We had a record month for The Green Age website this month.
Yes,
the month of November.
So shout out to all of the followers, listeners, people out there who are reading, watching, listening.
So well over 300,000 people.
Yes, a record, an absolute
record. Which is terrific.
It's good.
Obviously, what we say is important.
Absolutely.
Well, it might not be important, but it is popular.
Yes.
So that's great. Anyway, so this is The Green Room. So this is our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, we're on episode 29.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, tell me.
Go on. So we thought, we'd go a little bit political today. Not go political, but talk about, you know, the relevant topics, because, you know, do have an election coming up.
Are you excited about the election?
Not really.
No, nor me.
I just can't wait for it to be over.
And enjoy Christmas.
Exactly. That's what most people want to do.
Yes, quite.
Instead of politicising. But anyway, the reason the election is relevant to us, because there are several policy areas that I think are key to energy, the environment, and kind of overall sustainability. So what we thought today is, since the parties have gone and launched their manifestos, important to say, we covered Labour in quite a lot of detail, so today we'll skip them and compare them to all the other parties. Since the manifestos have come out, that's like just a manifesto, isn't it? It's you know, after the election, it all becomes a blur, doesn't it?
Yes.
And ends up on a pile of recycled stuff. Well, hopefully they'll recycle it and not just burn it and throw it away. But anyway, so I'll stop muttering on and ask you, very importantly first before we get into it.
Yes.
How can people find about this podcast?
So, the podcast, you can go on to Apple Podcasts, I think it's called. You can go on to Spotify. You can go on to Stitcher. You can go on to Podbean, which is where we're hosted. That's if you want to listen to us, or you can go onto our website, which is The Green Age website, and at the top there's a little button that says podcast, and you click on and it gives you all these different options. However you devour your podcasts, we will be there.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to watch us, which I get, you need to go onto YouTube, and if you type in The Green Age or The Green Room, we will hopefully appear. And you can watch us and listen to us.
Some nice subscriber figures coming through, so yeah, very much appreciate.
And we're getting good questions now, which is exciting. Which we, you know, as I guess as your subscriber base begins to rise, you do get more questions. So this one we're going to do sort of the politics around the election and all this sort of stuff and you know, the environment. But we are going to go back to the questions and back to energy saving in the house and stuff and focus on that in the coming weeks.
I thought since the kind of climate emergency protests, the parties really, you know, took a listen to it and, you know, they spent a little bit more, I think, on their manifestos than it would in previous elections.
I'd say so. Yeah, I think so. I think the what we've found here is the two main parties, and Labour are always happy to spend and do promise to spend, but I think the Conservatives have jumped on that bandwagon as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one, for the first time, they are really, you know, they're throwing money at the issue, which is quite an interesting stance, and I think it's a bit of a change. I remember when we started the Green Age, and it was the coalition, you know, the Lib Dem Conservative coalition. We had the Green Deal came in, and you know, this was going to be the energy revolution, and it never really materialised. But now they are literally looking at throwing some money. Should we talk about the Conservatives, what their offer is first,
mm-hmm.
and then briefly talk through it? I think it's probably the easiest way. Do you want to give the headline?
Yeah. So I think with the other major parties, it's. They are very much focused on the home energy efficiency front. So the Conservatives want to put in £9.2 billion, which I guess is over the Parliament rather than on an annual basis, towards energy efficiency and heat-saving measures.
And insulation, which is important, right? Because we've always said, you know, you should It's all about thermal envelope. That's what we like.
We to always harp on about insulation.
We like to talk about that first. It. That's exciting rather than looking at the heating side of it. So that's good. So that's
which I'd say is a little bit of a retraction, because remember we mentioned this a few episodes ago and we were just a bit baffled why.
Oh, this move to electric. Oh God.
Yeah, and the whole thing about the heating and you know how they were going to focus on heating over the next decade and all that stuff. We just thought, well, the elephant in the room is surely you cut demand first before you kind of get onto those, you know, energy efficient heating measures.
Just interestingly, so this is the Conservatives, and as you said, they've offered £9.2 billion they're going to spend over the lifetime of the Parliament. Now, we had a look. So the Lib Dems, and I know I'm jumping ahead here, but they promised to insulate all homes by 2030. Mm-hmm. We did a brief costing on how much that would cost just for solid wall properties, of which there's approximately 8 million out of the 25 million homes in the UK. And we came to a figure of £54 billion just to do that. So while the Conservatives...
Yeah.
It's a big number, but while the Conservatives are going to throw money at the issue, you know, it's going to cover, say, a fifth of solid wall homes. Or I know there are cheaper insulation ideas out there, and there are cheaper insulation mechanisms, you know, loft insulation, cavity wall insulation, these kinds of things. But it's not really going to scratch the surface, actually.
Yeah.
And especially when you start looking, you know, within this 9.2 billion, they're looking at schools and hospitals as well. These are big commercial properties, and so the cost is obviously going to be a hell of a lot higher for something like that than a two-bed, a three-bed house.
So in essence, what you're saying is, you know, it might be, say, two-thirds commercial, public sector type thing.
Yeah.
One-third... The rest.
Which I kind of, you know, I think it's going to be underwhelming.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. So that's their first one.
So then the next one talks about the energy generation. So the generation.
Yep.
How do you generate electricity? Talk about the electricity mix. So they have said they want 40 gigawatts.
Yep.
So you remember how pronounced it?
No, right? Gigawatts.
I haven't done
that's really good.
Back to the Future thing.
No, that's good.
So 40 gigawatts of offshore wind capacity by 2030.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. I was up in the northeast coast, and you see them everywhere these days. So, Hartlepool,
I think,
on the weekend.
And I think it's one of the things the UK can be really proud of. I think we are becoming world leaders in offshore wind. And I think this kind of investment is really good, because the more we can hone our skills... You know, we can export these.
And listen,
technologies,
we're proud of
that,
as you've said. You know, world leaders. It's I think it'd be a fantastic achievement. So
I think it's really good.
And the more that we do, obviously, so the price of off wind, offshore wind, even 18 months ago was probably double. You know, what it was for all the other electricity generating measures. And
it's important to say though that the Conservatives, you know, while they're moving and looking towards offshore wind, which is great. They are very much backing nuclear, so Hinkley C. And I think that's important as well. And I think we might come under a bit of fire from that, from people watching and listening. But, you know, while the move to renewables is really important, we do need baseload power because of the intermittency of the renewables.
And hence why I think it goes on to the next one, because they want to spend another £800 million on carbon capture storage technologies, which I assume is what you're sort of alluding to there, because... What's carbon capture storage? It's presumably clean coal or clean gas, I suppose.
Yeah, basically. So if you burn gas and make carbon dioxide, you're capturing that at source, and so it's not escaping into the atmosphere, etc., etc. So that is to do with base load, and obviously we need base load power somewhere, right? Because unfortunately, we don't live in LA where it's, you know, lots of sun, so we can power our homes on solar. It's not windy all the time, so we need to have baseload power that we can turn on and off as we need it.
Yeah,
which I think is really important.
And then another half a billion towards the energy intensive industries, which I don't know actually
steel.
That
kind of
thing is in China now, isn't it? We've got a little.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But they, you know, we shall see. Because if the Conservatives were to get in, they're talking about promoting homegrown technologies, aren't they? And homegrown industries over competitors, which I'm not even sure that's allowed. However, if that was the case, then obviously they can try and make those less energy intensive, which seems a very sensible idea.
And then finally, just to say, because obviously pollution, plastic pollution, has been a key thing over the last 12 months. They want to invest money so we actually recycle more of that plastic waste here, rather than previously, you know, just export it to a less developed country.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue. You know, if people are, you're paying for recycling and you assume that your stuff is being recycled, it's not just being passed on to another country.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. It's horrendous. It's horrendous and really surprising. And I think a lot of people find it surprising. You know, they assume that if you're taking something to a recycling place on a weekend, you know, you drive down and take all your bits and pieces there to recycle, they will be recycled rather than turn up in some river.
Yeah.
I saw there was some article I was reading about a whale that was caught.
There was a ton of plastic waste in its stomach.
Nets and all this sort of stuff. Yep, Jesus, wept. I mean, it's just horrendous,
that
isn't
was it? Yesterday, yeah, washed up.
So we need to take this a hell of a lot more seriously. I think this thing is really important. But that's conservatism in a nutshell. We've got a few to go through here, so we are going to race through them. But so we've got this £9.2 billion spend. They're really going to push offshore wind and carbon capture and energy intensive industries, and then they're gonna put this £500 million into the sort of protect the seas.
And I guess they'll probably carry on with their transportation policy, which has been banning diesel and petrol cars by 2030. And
they want to do that by 2040. They want to ban the sale of new petrol and diesel cars.
Okay.
This is all undermined. Wrong word. their commitment to make us carbon neutral by 2050. Is pretty strong. Like that's their marker in the sand, and the ideas they've come up with here don't really get them there, in my opinion. But anyway, that's just me.
So you want to talk about Labour?
So Labour, we're just going to fly over. I mean, we talked about it last time, but they're, you know, the new Green Deal. So we were very much involved in the Green Deal the first time, and we also we spoke to the guys buying the Green Deal loan book and you know, with a view to making it more commercial prospect.
This is where the investment is passed on to the the expected savings of the measure itself should pay for
the measure over its lifespan. It's a really, really clever principle. The issue is number one, really high interest rates. Number two, do you want to put debt onto an electricity meter? Why would someone buy a house that already has debt on it? You know, so you're not just having to take a mortgage, you're having to take on more debt. So that's an interesting one, and we discussed it. You know, if you want to listen to it, go to episode 28.
They can work, I think, if the mechanisms are different. So if, you know, if it's completely reformed and they use the, you know, just low interest from the private sector, but not necessarily going on the electricity meter, going on to, you know, as a mortgage product or...
Yeah, I agree. And I think... I think the other thing is that the life savings of some measures, people assume if I put a new boiler into my house, it's going to make a huge difference, right? If I've got a 15-year-old boiler and I put a new one in my house, we're talking like 2-3% energy savings potentially. So it's that becomes a real issue here, because actually, despite the fact the boiler has a sort of useful lifespan of 10 to 15 years now, because you know they've clocked on to the fact they want to sell boilers every 10 to 15 years, so they're not going to last much longer than that.
Yeah.
But you don't get these massive efficiency gains, so you can't free up that much funding via this mechanism. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of one of the bigger issues, that, you know, it works perfectly if it's a cheap measure that gives a really high reward, i.e. loft insulation. If you have zero loft insulation, you install 300 mil, the energy savings are going to be substantial.
Yeah.
But if I had even, you know, if I have 100 mil loft insulation and I install another 200 mil, the cost of it is not going to pay for it. Mm. You know, the savings aren't going to pay for that. So it's a tough one. If they get it right and they position it correctly, it might work. As a sort of byproduct of this, the Labour Party are pledging this 1 million green jobs in the energy sector. Which again, you know, there's a lot of install
tricky
companies.
Tricky one to measure. That.
Yeah, it is. And the reason for me that it's tricky. Obviously, we saw a huge number of companies spring up when the Green Deal first launched. But a lot of companies now that do building works will put in new windows, or they will have attached to them heating engineer because you have to be gas safe. So they will have someone who will install a new boiler.
Mm-hmm.
So despite the fact they might try and get, you know, 10 million new boilers installed, the issue is that we already have the people that can install them already doing it. So I don't know where the new jobs would come from necessarily.
But also it'll take a long time. So if we are having to train people up, it'll take a long time for people to be upskilled to do the measure installment to a competent enough level.
Yeah, I mean, I met a chap yesterday, and he was he went to college and did plumbing course, and he did 2 years of this plumbing course and decided he didn't really like it, didn't want to become a plumber anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 years, and he's decided.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like they can become a plumber overnight, which is a good thing because they need to know what they're doing. But it's you know, if you've got a 5 year term of parliament,
and we've seen how tricky it is, so for example, external wall insulation to do that in a competent way.
Yeah.
Quite tricky.
100%. 100%. It's a tough one. Moving on, sorry, because we've got lots to get through.
Yeah, I was just gonna say then the vehicle scrappage scheme. So that's taken from their they did quite a popular one when Gordon Brown was Prime Minister back in the previous decade.
Yeah.
So do you remember it was like £4,500?
Yeah.
And then that created a bit of a vehicle boom. I think it's not a bad idea, but it just depends on what, you know, how much.
Yeah, the issue is if I'm finding issues here, not solutions, so I apologise. But if you know, if you say, right, here's 5K for an electric car, the incremental cost of getting an electric car is 5K.
Mm.
You know, if I go and buy a Polo, for example, or I buy an electric Polo, the electric Polo tends to be the grant plus some more expensive, if that makes sense. So, a tricky one.
I think it'd be good. So, if either of the parties, they offered a scrappage scheme, but for vehicles that are finished or manufactured in the UK.
Yeah.
How good would that be?
No, it would be a good idea. That would, I mean, encourage it.
My idea. Just saying.
They should talk to you.
They should, yeah.
And then
the phone's there, just, you know.
They're talking about, obviously, this £5.6 billion towards the flood defences, which seems relatively sensible.
Mm-hmm.
When you see, you know, the floods we had recently in the Midlands, the catastrophic impact flooding causes.
Yes.
And, you know, the insurance companies that have sort of flooding clauses in them, i.e. if you flood, your insurance is void. It's very tricky to watch those kind of TV reports, isn't it? I don't know, you feel incredibly sorry for these people whose
yes.
everything they own is kind of essentially floating down the river.
Okay, so that's Labour. Onto the Lib Dems. So you talked a little bit about the £54 billion, which would, you know, to insulate, for example, just an element.
Can we do just really quickly on Labour?
Go on.
Diane Abbott,
Who
is famous
yes.
for getting her numbers right,
yes,
ish,
yes,
announced that by 2040 they want to plant 2 billion trees, which works out 11,000 trees per hour,
mm-hmm.
As far as sort of we ran some quick numbers before this. That's a lot of trees. It would be awesome.
I'll tell you what,
don't get me wrong, it would be amazing.
Do you know what? Maybe if you brought National Service back and kind of mobilised about 2 billion people. You know,
yeah,
and then that would be possible.
Yeah, and then your million green jobs. If your green job is counted as planting trees,
yes,
then yeah, and some. Anyway, right. So that's that. Sorry, Lib Dems. So,
80%. So this big thing that stood out for me. They want 80% of renewable power by 2030.
So we've talked. You know, we. We have an energy saving forum where we're all about renewables, all that sort of thing. This is what we do for a living.
Mm.
I just think if you want to power the country by 80% renewables, unless you're including nuclear in renewables, which I'm assuming you're not, I don't know how it works because of intermittency.
I don't know. Maybe we need to ask Ed Davey.
Or Joe. Miss Winston,
yeah.
It's a lovely aspirational target.
It's going to be very difficult on the grid.
I'd say so. I think
that's the biggest thing. So you could probably get the capacity up, but the grid wouldn't be able to cope with.
Yeah,
that's what you've just said. So
they're pledging to plant at least 60 million trees per year. So not quite as ambitious as the old.
It's a tree theme with all the parties.
I don't have a problem with it. So I saw that
they... Would you join in?
I plant a tree.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love trees.
Yeah.
So they're talking about making a...
Deciduous trees.
North to south national park that has trees right the way down, the base at the centre of our country. Listen, I think it's cool.
Novel, yeah.
I think it's a really good idea. I do, yeah. I might not much for seeing trees.
Didn't they have something similar in the 70s, Harry? Fact checking here. Wasn't there like a national campaign to plant an orchard or, you know, plant an apple tree in your back garden?
I have no idea. I mean, that's...
Mid-70s? Before my time. But,
did
you do
politics at school? That's the kind of thing you'd learn there. No one knows that kind of thing. And I'm glad you
if
just
someone
threw
knows,
Harry
if
under
someone,
the box there.
If someone knows
nice.
What the scheme was and whether they were actually involved, I'd love to hear in the comments.
So the moving on from that, Lib Dems are also, they want to ensure that all new cars are electric by 2030.
Mm-hmm.
Just
that's
to
a hell of a lot of batteries, James.
It is. A big draw on the lithium.
Yes.
Reserves.
Yes.
And again, so their big thing is the insulate all the homes by 2030. And now we worked out the cost briefly in sort of back of a fab packet. And it was £54 billion just for the EWI side of that. So that is a huge amount. Now, you know, that doesn't include cavity, lofts, all this sort of thing. So you might be looking at sort of £70, £80 billion here, mm-hmm. which is serious cash.
And on top of the £14 billion I'm just going into, Mr. Giemer was on the radio show for their childcare policy. It's going to be a hell of a lot of commitments there, so...
Yeah,
I think when the Institute of Fiscal Studies looked at it, yeah, it's just they looked at the numbers and then just thought, just they weren't quite sure where the money would come from. But anyway, very ambitious, I'd say.
Yeah,
probably one of the most ambitious ones of all the main parties.
Agreed. And then they're looking to target obviously waste recycling. So they want 70% of all waste recycled, which mm-hmm. I think is very admirable. Mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. awesome. And then finally, they're looking at putting $4.5 billion into bus routes. Now, an interesting thing I saw here was that when it was like an infographic, and I've never really liked infographics, but it was a picture of a New York road, and it was just full of taxis and cars, essentially. And they worked it out. So they basically said in this picture, you've got, you know, 150 people or something.
Mm-hmm.
But there were loads of cars everywhere, obviously. And they're saying an average of 1.2 people per car. I in some cars there's two, and most cars there's one person. They then did the same thing, and they just showed two buses, and they said the same number of people in all these cars could fit in these two buses. And it was quite a striking thing to see, because you're like, wow, actually, if we did get the bus network right, and I think in London, you know, the cycle highways, which again is great because more and more people are cycling, but it's completely clogged up the city.
And they're very dangerous as well.
Yeah, I think
for the cyclists and for the drivers.
I think if you could build a city from scratch and you could nail bus routes, it would be unbelievable. But trying to retrofit them and make it work so actually the town keeps moving. You know, my commute is from north of the River Thames down to where we are here. I mean, it can take so long to get to work because you've got all these pinch points trying to cross the river.
Mm-hmm.
And so buses potentially would be a fantastic way to take cars off the road if it was done properly. So that's Lib Dems.
Okay, S&P. So focusing a little bit on Scotland here for a second. So just say, although they have come out with measures that they'd like to see across the UK, the S&P. So net zero by 2045. So 5 years...
They're nailing it, aren't they? In terms of renewables, Scotland, I'm not going to say S&P necessarily, but Scotland are doing fantastically well in moving towards renewables,
mm-hmm.
essentially, and powering the country by renewables. They have a lot of hydroelectric.
But it's, yeah, because the topography of the country allows them mm-hmm. to be, and offshore wind, I suppose. And,
yeah. And they're looking, you know, they were looking at tidal... power in near the Shetlands.
That's Harry's tidal lagoons. Harry's favourite.
That's it. That's in Wales. But yes, so that's one of their big things, and I think actually they really could get there.
Mm-hmm.
Go on. More.
What's so diesel and petrol cars out by 2032?
So again, this is becoming a sort of common theme now.
Yeah.
But 2032 is still a couple of years after the Greens and the Lib Dems, who want 2030.
We haven't got to the Greens yet.
Yeah. Well, we got past Lib Dems for that much.
True. So absolutely, they would like a green New Deal. So I again, this, I don't know if that's similar to Labour's Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it is, because they tend to have policies in common.
Green Energy Deal, to ensure renewable firms can plan for... So it's more about the commercial sector.
Mm. And then the North Sea Oil, they're looking at ring-fencing the money from the North Sea Oil and using that to
invest in various
measures. I mean, unfortunately, those tax receipts have gone right down, but you know, we shall see what happens in the future. So I think the S&P's one is ambitious, but I think mm-hmm. it's probably the one that they're most likely to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yes, but what if Sturgeon gets her way and they have another referendum and they
become independent?
Yeah. Then where does that leave them in terms of, do they have the money to do this? Do they have the infrastructure?
Or... But they've got all that black gold in the North Sea.
And they've also got most of the wind farms. So, yeah.
Probably
a bit too much of a grey area.
Again, I think that's moving off the energy policy more onto other bits and pieces that we probably shouldn't touch on here. Anything else about the S&P?
Sorry, it was called Plant a Tree in 73.
Good man. God, you have some random
Plant
knowledge.
A Tree in 73. So if anyone remembers that,
we're off the S&P onto the Brexit Party. So the Brexit Party, if you've seen Nigel come out and basically say, well, yes, in an ideal world, everyone should drive an electric car, etc., etc., but I don't. I drive around and, you know, I smoke like a chimney and all this sort of stuff. He's not the kind of, I don't know, the flag bearer.
No,
I guess.
But he does ride on a double decker bus, though. So you've got to give it to him in terms of his carbon footprint campaigning around the country.
They've gone. So in their manifesto, they don't really separate it out into a sort of environment policy.
I think this tree planting thing was something that he came out with and everyone else kind of...
No, it came out in 73, mate. You've just told us.
No.
Plant a tree in 73.
Talking about the Brexit party.
but their other thing is we can't export any waste, which, I think again... I think it's admirable. I think it's a lot of the parties have this, you know, they're all targeting how we can deal with waste. And if you do, you know, sit on Google and you have a spare half an hour, just have a look at what we do with our waste at the moment. It is absolutely unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we took care of what we produce, that would be a very sensible idea. But that's about it. I think their policy is pretty thin on the ground, I'd say. I think they're interested more in other things, potentially Brexit.
I think it's interesting that they want to do all this recycling within the UK, because I mean, with the way that recycling works and how we basically sell, recycling is an industry that's designed to make money, and you know, with trade links, you know, changing with Brexit, it may be a case of necessity of economic necessity rather than actually wanting to keep it in house for any ecological reasons.
I think that's fair. I think that's a very fair point. It will be interesting to see. I mean, I don't think there's a chance that much of this is going to be put into practice, to be honest. Mm. But right, Green Party. So this is the big one. So these are they have gone big.
So headline.
They want to borrow £100 billion each year of the government. For the next decade.
Yeah.
So we're talking.
So it's what? It's half a.
It's 1 trillion.
Half a trillion.
What's 1 trillion?
Per parliament, and then 1 trillion.
Yes, 1 trillion over the decade,
yeah.
To become net zero economy by 2030, mm-hmm. by the 30s. So we're not many people know this, but we both did accountancy. So I would worry about that level of debt.
Yes.
But that's moving off the environmental side. If you could do it, it was incredibly cheap finance,
mm-hmm.
then why not?
So what they've talked about the car themes for 2030 again, which I think is the same as Labour's. No, it's the same as
Lib Dems.
Yeah, so they
want to insulate every home by 2030,
mm-hmm.
yeah, which is the same as Lib Dems again. Or, yes, same as Lib Dems. And again, the one thing that Lib Dems and the Green Party have in common is they want to actually, and we didn't mention it with the Lib Dems, but they want to attach this levy on people who fly frequently, and try and claw back a bit of cash there.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to claw back the £100 billion a year they're looking for, but it might give
have to come from somewhere else.
A couple of billion pounds.
You know that Green Party want to scrap your favourite project, don't you?
HS2?
Yeah.
That's what I've always supported.
That's what the Brexit Party want.
Everyone sensible wants to scrap HS2.
Yeah.
It was just
and invest in local rail. I think that's one thing we haven't talked about. All the parties.
Elon Musk has that marble run thing where the marble pings at like 1,000 miles an hour. That's what we need to be investing in. Imagine getting a little marble from London to Birmingham that takes like 4 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds cheap. Let's do that.
Well, it's cheaper than... How much is it per mile?
So people riding in hamster-esque...
How much is it for HS2 per mile?
You know, can you just imagine that? Sorry, what?
HS2 per mile?
Well, I don't know. They said it was going to cost around 80 billion, isn't it?
I heard it was over 100 billion now.
But that's not the first phase. It's to do all the other...
Oh, my God. It's a waste of money. Anyway.
I think all the parties were talking about investing more in local rail services and potentially upgrading lines and capacities on some regional and
but the Green, sorry, just nipping back to this now because we're getting on with time, but the Green Party's environmental mandate, as you'd expect, is green, and the most ambitious of all the parties.
They want net zero by 2030, I think, don't they?
Yeah,
that's
ambitious.
Yes. I think they want potentially 100% renewable as well, don't they? You would have thought.
Yeah, you would, because they do not like nuclear.
No.
But again, where is my baseload power coming from? That's my issue.
Battery storage? Turn UK into one big battery, James? A lot of lithium, isn't it?
That's a lot of rare earth metals
being
mined at great expense.
The other thing about the Green Party that they've discussed that no other party has is they proposed a tax on meat and dairy products.
Ooh.
Your faces
maybe,
really say it all, don't they? How was your kebabs today,
Jen? Maybe I've gone. I was going to have a meat pizza tonight. maybe the Green Party are not so sure about. Listen, it's incredibly ambitious. Again, much like the Brexit Party, I don't think we're going to be seeing a huge amount of what they do implemented. But I think good on them.
Yeah.
Good on them, and I know for a fact that is going to young people are going to buy into that.
Mm.
You know, Extinction Rebellion type folk are going to lap that up. And why not? Last one. Do you want to do it in a Welsh accent?
Go on.
No, because then all my homelanders will shout at me.
Why? Go on.
No.
Right, anyway,
because you guys have got to talk about this anyway. I've just got to judge you here silently and Welshly.
Cymru, yeah.
So, no, but they're one of their things is very close to your heart, isn't it?
Oh, Swansea Tide Lagoon, my fave.
There we go. There we go.
Feel free to go back and listen to the episode.
Plaid Cymru, very much of a Welsh focus on their...
Have you seen any of the debates?
No.
The fella who represents Plaid Cymru, and I don't know his name, this is going to sound really obvious because I know Tom Jones is Welsh, but it sounds just like Tom Jones. It's hilarious every time I watch it.
So you've got a good singing voice.
I haven't heard him sing yet. But he's,
all
yeah.
Welsh people have beautiful singing voices. Mm.
Do
as
they?
We know. Yeah, take me to karaoke.
Okay, fine. Go on. Sorry, Nick, interrupting.
So single-use plastics. They want to create a Welsh kind of recycling mechanism to increase jobs and get it all recycled and all that good stuff. Tidal Lagoon, as you've talked about. And then... a few offshore wind farms.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce it.
Anglesey. Just call it Anglesey.
And another tidal barrage.
Tidal barrage, yeah.
So I love a tidal barrage. The one over the Severn, terrific. That's like my dream infrastructure project.
Mm.
But they're talking over the River Usk.
See, I'm quite familiar with the River Usk. It's from where I'm from. So I'm not quite sure where it would be wide enough. But anyway, presumably somewhere.
Is that Monmouthshire?
Yeah, round about there.
Where, sorry?
Monmouthshire.
So they're looking basically to throw in a lot of renewables in Wales, which...
So it's a very Welsh focus.
Yeah.
It's a lot about making more jobs in Wales as well.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as it's an environmental set of policies, it's also very much... about addressing low levels of employment in Wales.
What is this a dangerous question? What is everyone's favourite environmental party's policy? What's the one thing out of everything that you, if you could pick it now, what would you pick? I like the trees.
Yeah, but yes.
I like your tree for 73 or 83?
73.
Weren't
you listening?
Plant a tree in 73. So, honestly, if you did that now, I'm in. I'll go and plant a tree.
But we plant a tree in
2023.
All right.
Listen, you've asked me the question.
Yes.
And I have to say, I quite like the Labour policy on flood defences.
Okay.
Very good, that.
I know this can sound a little bit stupid, but how are you predicting with only 5.4 billion? 5.6 billion. How are you predicting where the floods are going to occur? I know on floodplains, I get that.
Yes.
But I've driven through Reading, for example, and you drive through the ring road around Reading, and it's all underwater.
But that's just sewage, isn't it?
No, it's not just sewage, it's just lots of rain. Like, how do you predict where there is going to be lots of rain and floods? With only 5.6 billion.
But that's just, you know, Reading needs to upgrade its sewage system so it can, you know, dissipate more water in a, you know, quicker time period.
I don't even understand.
Listen, you know, I think it's going to be impossible to stop flooding happening, you know, as a kind of blanket thing all across the country, just because we don't know, as you said.
We can certainly
put measures in.
Fill sandbags in anticipation.
Do measures that will, you know, mitigate the risk on some of the highest risk areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I quite like that. What else has caught my eye? The offshore wind. I think just carry on with that. But you know, that's across the parties, I'd say.
Yeah.
And it's quite nice that across all of the political spectrum that there is, as I said to you, a seriousness about just, you know, environmental issues and energy and.
I think that's the big thing. I think that's the big thing we're seeing political cycle,
mm-hmm.
right? So in this government cycle, we've never seen any ambition. I mean, the Greens, yes, but everyone else has kind of, it's always been a very small part of the manifesto.
But I'd say that the elephant in the room is baseload power, isn't it?
Yes.
No one really has addressed that.
No.
But that's because they're trying to get votes, and I think that the general public doesn't quite understand that the energy system needs that. They just want.
Granted,
they will do if they watch the.
if you look at you know, so I'm going to throw 6 billion here, 10 billion here.
What's your favourite policy?
Oh, just 2 seconds. If you're going to throw money everywhere, right? Hinkley C is costing 26 billion. Yeah, that's a decent whack of cash. Of these policies, you know, when I'm doing 5.6 billion for flood defences, for example, 26 million just to get one power station that's going to do like 5% of our baseload power.
Yeah.
You know, when all these power stations, the existing ones, reach the end of their useful life at the end of the next decade and the 30s, we're going to have to replace them with something. And nowhere is any of that costed in any of these. My favourite policy is to do. With the improving the performance, the thermal performance of the envelopes of properties. Because I think that fundamentally is the biggest one. If you can get adequate levels of insulation, we have awesome buildings in this country. You know, you go to America and they have a building that's like 10 years old and they knock it down and rebuild it. Here, we've got houses that are hundreds, potentially 1,000 or 8,000 plus years old. They're still standing, they look beautiful. And we have the ways to insulate them now, because obviously when they were built, they didn't really think about these things.
Yeah.
And if we can get it right, you know, it makes an enormous difference. And the thermal comfort improves massively for the occupants and all this sort of stuff. So that would be my one. It's a bit boring, but fine.
Do you think we should be looking, if we had to choose one, do you think we should be looking at insulating homes first, like the Lib Dems are saying, or like the Tories are saying, going with schools, hospitals, public buildings?
So my view on this, so hospitals, the issue for me is that a new hospital is fit for purpose. If you are trying to retrofit this on an old hospital, it doesn't work. So we were in hospital, had the baby in the summer. the amount of stupid like long corridors and stuff that you have to walk down to get anywhere. And this is basically, it's because they're really old buildings and they've just got bigger and bigger and they've added new departments and they make no sense. For me, hospitals need to essentially be rebuilt. And so all of the existing hospitals need to be turned into probably flats, sold off, that money freed up, and they make built, you know, made for purpose hospitals. Therefore, as a result of that, they'd be really well insulated, they'd operate really effectively, la 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 la, which means that my focus would be absolutely on homes.
Because in hospitals and schools where you've got children and then obviously in hospitals, patients and stuff, it's also other things like not just heat retention, it's about air quality, it's about...
It's about amount of light. It's about having windows. You know, we were in our hospital room and it had sort of blurred out crappy windows. If they had really good double glazing windows, but you weren't overlooking this kind of new... little hospital wing they just stuck on in the 70s, then, and you have to blur out the window for privacy, you know, they're not thinking about these things. If you go near Swindon now and you look, and you're on the M4 and you look kind of, if you're travelling to Wales and you look north of the M4, they've built this massive purpose-built hospital, and it is, seriously, it's an impressive structure. It is enormous, but you just know that everything is connected to the right places. If someone was ill, they can get them to where they need to be. And that's maybe one to discuss another time.
So why aren't the politicians talking about that? Why are they...
Well, the problem is, the promises this election cycle are so big. Yeah, so
from all the parties.
Uncosted. So Boris has come out, Mr. Johnson's come out and said he's going to build 40 new... hospitals, right? So actually, in reality,
it's 8 hospitals, isn't it?
I think it's 6.
And it's seed funding.
And it's seed funding for a whole load more, and then it's a couple of wings on more. 6 new hospitals in 5 years, if they actually got built, is a decent number.
Mm.
Yeah? That is my feelings on it. But because I have to come out and make such a... I'm going to build 1,000 hospitals.
It's a hot potato thing.
And it just becomes more and more ridiculous. And actually, if they just focused on it... But people gave the politicians a bit of a break. And I think I was watching the debate last night, and it was, there was one final question, and this is my final thought for the day. They were talking about cross-party cooperation. And there are things that are bigger than, you know, a silly politician making a stupid promise that he knows he's never going to keep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like this, things like building new hospitals, shouldn't just be thought of to try and gain votes for one party over one term. There needs to be cross-party cooperation that they come up with a proper plan for this stuff.
Yeah, because obviously...
And that's on everything.
Yeah, and it's... Because don't forget, we don't just have Parliament. We have local councils that have a lot of devolved power and a lot of influence on how they spend money. So to deliver it, you've got to be working, you know, across all sectors of government.
I think they need to come up with a housing policy that is not just
about numbers.
I'm going to do 250,000 homes. Well, I'm going to do 251,000 homes, because it's just utter crap. They need all the parties to sit there like grown individuals they are and come up with something sensible. That was the first time I was about to swear properly then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so anyway. That's my thoughts
answer
today.
To your question, potentially, Harry, is if they spent it more on commercial businesses, that's where you'd probably see the gains. Because we see it, you know, from some of our surveyor colleagues, you know, some of the stuff they're talking to us about, commercial buildings and kind of poor EPC ratings and all that stuff. If you could address some of the lighting, the heating issues there, then yeah, that would have a massive impact, but maybe not in the public sector, as what you just said, because, you know, you need to build...
Things aren't fit for purpose.
So just saying that, so my high school, actually,
mm-hmm.
was an ex-World War II military wing for service people. And it just wasn't, so when I went to school, it just wasn't fit for purpose, yeah, because it had all these long corridors. But as you said, it wasn't a very pleasant place to study. And now you go to it, and it's been completely knocked down, brand new.
And rebuilt.
Yeah.
And I know that costs money.
Yes.
But surely the money saved in... the efficiency gains of doing stuff like that.
And you know what? And maybe that's not the reason, but it went from good to excellent in the office. You could say it's because of it's being rebuilt fit for purpose, but you know, maybe there is something there.
So there we go. So that's our brief summary of the political landscape in terms of the environment as is sort of going on right now, just before the election.
And next week we'll be back with better regular things that we talk about anyway.
I find that hospital thing quite interesting, and I think we should probably look at that kind of thing maybe in a bit more detail, and we can have a wider discussion on it and throw some
maybe an Excel too.
Yeah, good. Anything else for anyone?
No.
Good stuff. Well, we will. We've been out for a few weeks, but we're up and running again. Obviously, Christmas is very soon, so we'll have a brief break for that. But then we will crack on. So
we'll have a few more podcasts for Christmas.
Yeah, we should do. Yeah. But anyway, that's it for this week. So thanks very much for listening or watching.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.